Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest episodes of Birds vs. Boys. We are deep into draft season. We are less than a month. We are actually in the month of draft of the NFL draft. Tonight, when we are recording this, it is the 3rd of April. You're probably listening to this on the 4th of April. That means we are just mere weeks away from the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles on the clock, along with the rest of the NFL. We can't wait. Free agency still going on. Obviously, the Cowboys going out there and re-signing Adoga. Can't wait to have a tackle back who can't play tackle. But we've got lots to talk about tonight. Lots to do. Aiden, I'm going to kind of transition and let you run the show tonight because a little bit something new we want to do tonight. I'm thrilled about it. But take the dog and pony show down to Philly.
All right. The inmate gets to run the asylum tonight, baby. All right. Let's do it. So it is draft season. It's starting to be the point where you have an idea of players that our teams are targeting. So we want to talk about those. We're going to do a million mock drafts. Let's do something different. Let's talk about these prospects in a different way. So here's the deal. For anyone who's seen the show Hot Ones, you kind of know how that system works. The interviewees come on and they start with a mild wing, and as they are asked questions, they work their way up in heat of wings until they reach the absolute pinnacle where you're crying, sweating, and fearing for your life. Yep. Heat of the wing. So what we're going to do tonight is take some prospects and rank them on that heat scale. So we'll go back and forth. I have some prospects for the Eagles. Kevin has some prospects for the Cowboys. Where do they fall with our team's interest level in them? Are they the mild wing that you start with at the beginning and you're like, probably not, but we're going to work our way up? Or is it so scorching hot that your tongue may bleed when we're done with it because you are so sure that this team is going to draft this player? So we'll get into it. We'll go back and forth. Kevin has a list. I'll ask him how he feels about some players and he'll ask me. Would you like to go first, sir? Do you have any thoughts before we get started?
Yeah, no, I think I love this idea. I think you can take bits and pieces from things you hear, things you see. 30 visits, obviously. That's a dead giveaway for the Dallas Cowboys. If you look at their draft history, just look who comes to the 30 visit. Look who comes to the Texas Day, which I still think is cheating, right? They have this Texas Day, and any players who live or played around the area can just come and work out there, and it doesn't count against the 30 visit, which is awesome. But hey, I'll take it. But even guys, Aiden, that, you know, like Marquise Bell, who was an undrafted free agent, played a big role for them this year, was a 30 visit, and he was an undrafted free agent. So look to the 30 visit if you want the biggest nuggets.
Yeah, and for the Eagles, it's kind of less so. They do a ton of due diligence, so they usually meet with guys who not necessarily means that they're going to take them, but there are, when there's smoke, there is fire. There's been a lot of guys over the years that you've heard their names, and I'll get into it with the cornerback position here in a second, but they were really in on J.C. Horn, and you heard that all leading up to the draft, and he got taken before then. That's how they ended up with Devontae Smith, but they were really in on him, and so I think that there is a lot of smoke, there's fire for the Eagles as well. So if you're hearing 30 visit, if you're hearing they met at the Senior Bowl, if you're just hearing general rumors, like this offseason, I didn't believe the Saquon thing, and there were so many rumors out there, and then it happened. So there's got to be some truth-telling to this, and I think there's both of our teams can go a variety of different ways. So we'll touch on a different number of positions too.
All right, I'm going to give you a name first, Aiden.
Cool.
Let's go with Cooper DeJean.
Ooh, this is a great one. This is a great one. Because at first I was like, this is the wing that you eat and you're like, at first, you're like, okay, I'm fine. And then it has that after kick and you're like, I'm going to die. Like on the Scoville scale, this is like the ghost one. That's like at a million where it's above orange, it's red. And you know, like the top one, you're like, oh, I know this is going to be hot. So Cooper DeJean, I know his last name is DeJean, but if he gets drafted by the Eagles, it'll be DeJean, and you'll see shirts everywhere. He came on a 30 visit. There's rumored interest that there's people in the front office from reliable sources that they are enamored with him. I understand why. Multi-positional versatility. He can play corner. He can play safety.
both positions that are of need for the Eagles. He's also a punt returner. Don't know how that factors in with Britton Covey. But I think they love his athleticism. They love his footwork. I think it's just, you know, from a technique point of view, he's very put together as a corner, you know, tackles well, covers well, does a variety of different things on the field. Kind of similar to Sidney Brown, where they were lining him up different places and he could come up and hit and tackle. Yep. And then all of a sudden he's returning a pick six for 100 yards for a touchdown. Dejon's kind of the same way, where you're like, we can line him up anywhere and we can trust him. I genuinely believe that they have a lot of interest in this kid. So it listen, the joke is always going to be there. The white corner, they're extinct. Like, I can't get the Shane Gillis skit out of my head talking about like how Alabama football finally segregated. That's all I can think about is like white corners are extinct. The fact that he'd be playing in the back secondary with Reed Blankenship is funny. Like, the jokes will be there. But I genuinely think on the Scoville scale, this one is really hot. This is going to burn your tongue, and there's some after kick that you didn't see coming.
Yeah, I like Cooper DeJean. I wouldn't like to see him in an Eagles uniform. I think you said he brings versatility. He's coming off the injury. He just sent the letters out to all the teams. You know, he's cleared for football activities. I think he's going to be good to go. Comes from a program like Iowa. You know, he's not going to give you any BS. He's going to lay it on the line. He's going to know how to hit. We've seen him cover. So I think in this one, it's definitely where there's smoke, there is fire. Just you'd have to take him in the first round. I think he'll
go in the 20s. If it's not the Eagles, it'll be someone in the 20s. I think that's fair to say. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a great first name to start with, because it's, like I said, it's one that sneaks up on you. Yep. So here's a guy who might not be sneaking up on us, but he might be sneaking up on other people. How about Jackson Powers Johnson? How do you feel?
Okay. Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon, he was at the top of most draft boards, right? I think he's a consensus best center in the draft. In the beginning of draft season, you were seeing him a very hot pepper. You were seeing him kind of in that Carolina Reaper, maybe three down from the top. Cowboys very interested. Obviously, they have a big hole at center right now, right? Mm-hmm. They let their center walk. There are rumors that they may have their guy on the roster already, but I don't think so. I think they are fully in play at center. Then you started seeing some injury concerns come out, right? Is it his hips? Is it his knees? Is it going to be a problem? And you start to see him slide a little bit in mock drafts and people's boards, and sliding kind of into the lap of the Cowboys at 24. And 24 is that range where, you know, if you have somebody who is a Carolina Reaper, but, you know, you are kind of worried about the injuries, people are kind of moving him down the board. Maybe he's just a jalapeno, you know, maybe he's not that. He just has that little bit of spice, but it's not going to last in your mouth with the heat because of the injuries. He might be gone. Sliding to 24, that's where you take a chance on a guy like that who has such high upside that could burn your mouth in a good way, or could burn your mouth in a really bad way if you draft him and he doesn't pan out with the injuries. But I think he's somebody I would take. Like I said, he's the consensus number one center in the draft. There's other guys we may talk about one during the show. There's the kid from West Virginia. There's also centers you can get later on in the draft if you don't want to take the risk at 24.
It feels like a guy who could slip to 24, or it feels like there could be a team that falls in love with him in the teens. Right. Yep. Doesn't he feel like that kind of, it is ironic because he is a swing offensive lineman between center and guard. Yes. So he will swing as well. I can see him going in the teens, or I can see him falling and kind of falling in the lap of the Cowboys. Yep. It's very up in the air right now. It's all about how you value him, how you value the position.
Absolutely. All right. Coming back to you, staying on the offensive line, let's talk Tyler Guyton.
This is an interesting one to me because I think a lot of people are looking at it and you're like, tackle. We have tackles. We do now. So right now, and I'd say he's like that cayenne kind of like hot pepper. Like he's a very solid like yellow, like 30,000 on the Scoville scale, where it's not that hot, but it's hot enough. And you know that there's more heat coming. I like him as a prospect. I think both of our teams are going to be interested in him.
Yes.
It would not make me even blink twice if the Eagles go after him and try to reinvest in the right tackle position and go back to the Oklahoma pipeline and replace Lane Johnson and his heir apparent as Tyler Guyton. Like, it just makes sense. An athletic guy, great footwork for a tackle. It's, like I said, they're just going back to the well with Lane Johnson and filling that position. I think they are doing a lot of projecting for the future this offseason. There is a big youth movement. They don't want to get caught where Lane Johnson is 35 and they have no replacement. And if this kid sits a year, that sucks, but you understand why. If he's that talented, it's worth it. And I think a lot of teams do think he's that talented. Another guy who may not make it to either of our teams.
And for the Cowboys, I can actually talk to this one too, because he is somebody that they may be interested in, somebody that has been mocked to them many times and mocked from guys like McShay and all those guys. So I think Cowboys wise, they look at him as like that habanero, you know, pepper. He's warm. He's got some flavor to him. You know, he comes from that Oklahoma pipeline, but at the same time, he's only ever played right tackle in his career. Mm-hmm. You are talking about playing him at right tackle, which fits. The Cowboys would be talking about probably playing him at left tackle because, well, like you just said, someone, Lane Johnson walking away, you don't have a replacement. Well, here are the Dallas Cowboys not having a replacement right now for their consensus first round all pro Hall of Fame left tackle and Tyron Smith. Or would they pick him and put him at right tackle and say, hey, Terrence Steele, we need to have a conversation and yeah, you're still trying to figure out left tackle. I think, like I said, for the Cowboys, it'd be like a habanero, but I think if the Cowboys do pick him, and for the fan base, it's like that Anaheim low, like they're just not feeling this. I don't know why. He is a good player, but everything that I feel from the fan base, it's like a not for me, Bob, and I don't know why.
You know what? I think it'll come down to teams, just like Jackson Powers Johnson. There could be a team that falls in love with Demaryius Mims, mm-hmm, and that will dictate where Tyler Guyton goes. I think Guyton's the more polished prospect, but the sheer size and force of Demaryius Mims, I can see a front office falling in love with.
Yes.
He's more of a project, but he's just a massive bulldozer of a tackle.
And like you say, it only takes one, right? It only takes one front office, because I think there's going to be multiple front offices that are just like, he's got 8 games in college. Like, I just don't, there's not enough tape. I mean, he has the chance to be the pepper of the draft, I think, in Demaryius. Not many human beings make Tyron Smith look small, and he made Tyron Smith look small.
I think for a lot of people, Mims, I know he's not on our list, but he dictates where Guyton goes. I think for most people, he'd be like the jalapeno, like 2,500, a low thousand on the Scoville scale. Yep. And then for one team, he will be the ghost, like burn your tongue off on the Scoville scale, you know, and that's all it takes is the one. And then other teams are going to rush and be like, oh shit, there's a tackle off the board. We have to go get Guyton.
Yep. Absolutely.
Let's stay offensive line with you. This is a name that's on both of our lists, so mm-hmm, I'll ask it to you first. Troy Fatanu.
Boom, look at you.
My goal is to not mess his name up.
So Troy Fatanu from Washington, some people look at him as a guard, some people look at him as a tackle. I think he has that versatility, which extends him and gives him even more value. He is a 30 visit for the Cowboys right there, shows the interest. I don't know if he's there at 24 because I think so many people have him as that hot pepper. I think you look at him and he is that Carolina Reaper. I think he's the one down from the top. He is a tough guy. He just played in the national championship game. His technique is almost flawless. Does he have a little bit of things, footwork and stuff to work on? Yes, but he is going to maul. He is going to brawl. He is going to beat people up on every snap of the ball, and that's what you want. I think the Dallas Cowboys front office look at him as a Carolina Reaper. I think the Cowboys fan base look at him as a Carolina Reaper. He is that top, just, I am going to burn your mouth, and you're going to love it. To the fan base, to the team, and to that MF-er across from him that he's going to beat up. I am going to stick this in your mouth. It is going to burn the hell out of you, but you're going to enjoy it. I would absolutely fall in love with him if he fell somehow to the Cowboys at 24. And I know the Cowboys only have 7 picks in this draft, but if he finds a way to fall to around 20, is this someone that they're willing to try and jump up a few spots to go get?
Totally agree. I think I might steal most of the things that you said and just use it about the Eagles who are at 22. So we might have a little bidding war here with both of us trying to trade up. Howie Roseman, he's either trading up or back. He rarely picks in his position. The last time he did it was with Jalen Reagor. So that didn't work out too well. I agree. He's like, what's that?
Do that again. Let's do the Reagor thing again. Pick where you are and pick somebody bad.
I did not prefer that technique, so let's trade up or down. Let's trade up for Fatanu. I love him just like you. Carolina Reaper, hot on the scale, like over 1,400,000 on the Scoville scale. Hot. Again, the Eagles, like, you ever walk into a store and they're doing like a buy one, get one 50% off, and they have a bunch of flashy signs, and you're like, I have to have this. I have to have this because of the sign. If you flash an offensive lineman that says multi-positional versatility and attach that label to the offensive lineman, the Eagles are the person that stores like, I have to have this. I have to have this. Look at the sign. I have to have this. It says multi-positional offensive lineman. I have to have him. I think they will love the fact that he can play guard and tackle. One, they probably need a guard right now. I don't know how much they believe in Tyler Steen. And two, we just talked about it with Guyton. They're probably going to have to replace Lane Johnson in the next 2 years or so. Fatanu would be perfect. I go back and watch that game. For some reason, I watched a lot of Washington football this year. They were on at like 3:30 on Fox every week.
They were fun.
They were fun to watch. They played interesting games. So I watched a lot of like Washington offensive line. You go back and watch the game against Utah. Like you mentioned, he mauls people.
Yep.
Like, he's not there to block. He looks like the cocaine bear when he plays.
Yep.
He just goes out and tries to maul and mash people.
And not many people can do that against Utah, too.
That's exactly. A team that's like, that's their whole identity. Mm-hmm. They got down on the goal line against Utah and blew them up.
Yep.
It was fun to watch. Like, you're not often like watching offensive line play in a college football game. Washington's offensive line, they were blowing them up. He's very fun to watch. Like I said, you talked about it, like maybe footwork needs to be worked on, stuff like that. You can't teach the tenacity in which he plays with. Maybe put him with the best offensive line coach in the league and see what happens. And all of a sudden, you look across that line and you're going Malaya, Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, Fatanu, and Lane Johnson. If you're Saquon Barkley, you might just start crying. You're going to be like in Longest Yard when with Nelly, when everybody else showed up, and you're like, thank God, it's not just me. That's going to be him. He's going to be like, this is amazing. I can't believe the day has come.
I would just hate every second of it if he's in Philadelphia and love every second of it if he's in Dallas. He's that type of player.
I think he's great. I really think he's great. And it's a position, infrastructure. Yep. I'm going to keep standing on this podcast till they cut my tongue out. The Eagles will draft infrastructure. They care about the line so much. They draft there again and again and again, no matter what. And they have a possible hole at guard. And if that kid's on the board, to fill that hole, there you go. Also, if he gets drafted, here's a lock. I know sports betting's been big lately. -3,500 that him and Jalen Carter get in a fight in training.
Oh,
no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Without a doubt. Especially if he's playing guard.
Definitely. All right, let's switch it up a little bit. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball.
Okay.
Edgerrin Cooper.
Okay. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker from Texas A&M right there. It just says the word Texas in there, so you'd think there's a link to the Cowboys. This is a guy, Aiden, we thought possible we could both absolutely interested in, possibly both get him in the second round. Everything I'm hearing now is that's not going to happen. I think he's going to find a way to sneak his way into the first round, whether it be the back end, and here we are sitting at 22, 24. Both have a need for a linebacker. I think he's like that red Savannah habanero / ghost pepper. You know, he's in the orangey red coming to the top. But do you want to take that at 22 or 24? There's it's a semi deep linebacker draft. He's speedy. He's downhill. He's somebody I want on my team, especially watching the linebacker play. I mean, watching the safety play basically for the Cowboys this past season. So he's somebody I would want. He's somebody that I think jumps off the tape sometimes when you watch him. It's that you eat the wing, you're like, it's got a kick, but I like that taste. That's good. And you immediately, you know, a little more dip in the blue cheese and the ranch, and you go right back in and take another bite. But are you willing to pay full price for that wing? That's the question. And I think taking a middle linebacker first round when you have other needs and possibly other flavorful wings on the board, I just don't know.
He is a guy. I did not have him on my list of Scoville ratings for the Eagles, but he is a guy who had a top 30 visit with them. They met with him at the Senior Bowl. You and I at the beginning of the show just talked about if there's smoke, there's probably fire. I don't know if the fire is occurring at pick 22.
Yeah.
You know, for the Eagles, like linebacker in the first round is just not what they do. Mm-hmm. I think they wanted this kid with pick 50 or pick 53.
Yep.
If he's in the 20s with the other positions that they need to fill, I just don't see it. So, like you said, if he's sneaking up the draft boards, we'll have to have a talk. And maybe, hey, for the Cowboys at 24, maybe that's a trade down scenario. You talked about only seven picks, add another pick, move back to 28 and take him. You know, if somebody else is trying to move up for a rush on corners or something like that.
And I am fully okay with a trade back scenario in the first round because the Cowboys don't have a fourth round pick. Do you know why they don't have a fourth round pick, Aiden?
I actually don't.
They
traded for Trey Lance.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
So I would love to get a end of the third or a four back. So if, you know, trading back to 28, 29, 30 means you get an extra pick in the middle of the draft and you still can get a Poblano Pepper in the first round, I'm good with it.
There you go. By the way, Trey Lance, younger than Michael Penix Jr., who is the quarterback at Washington, might be taken in the first round.
I think Dallas Cowboys, possibly.
Hey, I think he'd be fun. It's all probably not good that he has two ACL surgeries and multiple shoulder surgeries, but he was fun to watch. Like I said, for some reason, Washington was just always on.
Yep, they were fun. They were fun this year. All right, let's talk about somebody that's fun and also has question marks on him. Nate Wiggins, the cornerback from Clemson.
This is a great one because I think this is the lowest. This is like your Anaheim. Like it's there's not much kick to it. It might have some juice. It might have some flavor.
Yep.
But your tongue's not going to be burning and you're not going to be sweating. I think he's pretty low on the Scoville scale for the Eagles. Here's a variety of reasons. One, you keep seeing him in mock drafts. That's because the Eagles need a corner. But you haven't heard anything from the team itself saying that they like Nate Wiggins, like they did with Cooper DeJean. Another thing, his weight. I know he was like 170 to 175. He's now up to 180 at his pro day. Yep. So that's good. But he's still on the lighter side.
That's on the pro day scale, though.
That's where your coach, your assistant coach, your secondary coach puts his toe on the scale.
Yep.
And they add a few, 2-3 extra pounds to your weight there.
That's like they say at Ohio State when people run the 40. It's actually a downhill track. So that's why Ohio State run so fast at their pro days at Ohio State.
I believe it. I totally believe it. But yeah, so Wiggins kind of undersized. And I know that they are high on Cooper DeJean. But the reason I didn't put him all the way up on the Scoville scale is how hot they are is the Eagles just haven't invested in the cornerback position in the first and second round in Howie Roseman's tenure. Do you know the last corner they took in the first or second round? This is tough.
Give me like a year range.
It's been a while. It's around the Super Bowl era.
I don't know.
Sidney Jones in the second round was the last time they took a corner.
Coming off the Achilles.
Coming off the Achilles injury. That's the last time that they went corner in the first or second round.
Wow.
So it's hard for me to believe that in a year where we need multiple holes on the offensive line, defensive line as a priority, you know, it's hard for me to believe that this is the year that they take the corner. I'm not counting it out. And I do think this kid, in terms of technique, is very sound.
Yep.
It's something that they struggled with last year, and James Bradberry fell off a cliff. So it's a position they've got to address, but they've done pretty good addressing it in later rounds. Guys like Avante Maddox, stuff like that. Brandon Boykin a few years back. So to me, not very high on the Scoville scale. That it's just not that hot. I'm not feeling the heat between him and the Eagles.
And I don't think I'm feeling the heat from the fans either in Philadelphia. I think if they took him, it would just be like one of those, like, Troy Fatano's on the board. Like, what do we do? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's it not would what be, we do.
It exactly. It'd be the, if Fatano's on the board and they go Nate Wiggins, it would just feel so uncharacteristic. Now, like I said, there are reports I found out recently. I was actually listening to that that new All Philly show.
Yep.
They had insight and intel that the Eagles were trying to get J.C. Horn on draft night before they were able to trade up for Devontae Smith. So they've been rumored with Patrick Surtain forever. So it's not out of the question that they'd go corner. But those two guys, I mean, Surtain, we're talking, is already one of the best corners in the league.
Yep.
Is Nate Wiggins that? I don't know.
And again, I think this kind of goes back to what we were just saying with Edgerrin Cooper. Maybe in the second round in the 50s, if he was there, you'd be interested. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if you're willing to pay full price.
Yeah. If Fatanu's off the board, you like all your offensive line prospects, then you want to trade back to 27 and get him. Cool. Pick up another pick. Yeah. Cool with that. Yeah.
But sitting tight, picking a corner in the history of the NFL, basically, there's only been one other guy his size or smaller, and it was last year that he was picked by Washington. There's just, you know, there's some big receivers in the NFC East, right? I mean, you're going to go against CeeDee Lamb, Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown in practice every day.
I was going to say, how did this work out with covering AJ Brown last year? Right? Yeah. The physicality. Yep. That poor kid got left on an island with AJ Brown, and look how it turned out.
Yep. So,
yeah,
we'll see. Sorry about that, Emmanuel Forbes.
Well, yeah, Emmanuel Forbes is taking a strike. He's like the 50 Cent meme. Was like, why are you mad at me? I fucked your baby mama.
Emmanuel Forbes was what's her name the other night covering Caitlin Clark.
Oh, Haley Van Lift. Yeah, she's just like, hands up. There's nothing you can do. I felt bad for him. That is how I felt about Forbes. He was up trying to talk shit to AJ Brown. It's like, dude, no, don't do this. This is a bad idea.
Like, I know this is not a women's college basketball show, but can we make just an adjustment? I don't know. She's just like, there you go. Stay on her.
Listen, from the jump, the first possession of the game, they went under a screen on Caitlin Clark. It's like, we've been talking about this every single day for 2 years. Why would you do that? It's the Elite Eight. Did you? You don't even have to watch film. Just watch a State Farm commercial, and you know not to do that. Man, there were some things LSU was doing that I was just like, guys, what are we doing? They kept going under the screen on Caitlin Clark, of all people. They weren't getting back on defense. It was a layup line for a while for Iowa. Yeah, that was
interesting. Be one of the worst coaching performances I've seen in a long time, and I've watched a lot of Mike McCarthy.
Does Kim Mulkey need to take a year off and just go into a room and just, you know, just watch nothing but women's college basketball for a while? Yeah, great. That was honestly, though, it was great basketball, that game in the UConn-USC game.
How about the women's Final Four tickets selling for double basically what the men's Final Four tickets are selling for price wise?
Yeah, awesome. They know what to do. I always say this to bring it back to the NFL. The NFL is so good at storylines, they realize that they are entertainment, right? Like, the NFL is so good at creating storylines, stuff like that. The women's March Madness, there is no sport right now with better storylines than the women's March Madness. With Caitlin Clark, the rematch versus LSU, the Angel Reese thing versus her, like, you know,
the 3-point lines that were not the same on each end of the floor. Can you imagine an NFL game where they're like, all right, so this half is 50 yards, that half is like 46 yards.
Yeah, they're like, actually, you know, the 20, It's actually at the 18. when you get a kickoff and do you get a touchback, you're taking it at the actually you're taking it to 23 instead of the 25.
That's fine. We'll just play it.
It's like, guys, this might be the year that we don't want to screw it up. But most watched women's game of all time on the night before they had the 3-point line messed up.
And again, they were like,
we got to get this right for the final four. Hey, but I'll tell you what, Caitlin Clark, you could put the 3-point line on the moon. She might make.
Literally.
Crazy.
Last Caitlin Clark thing here with Ice Cube offering her $5 million to play in the Big Three.
If you were her, how much do you make in the WNBA?
Great question.
I'm sure she'll go to the WNBA and have an illustrious career.
Yep.
But there's got to be something to, you know, just like playing 3-on-3 for $5 million and collecting endorsements that would be somewhat appealing.
I mean, let's see here. Who has the top WNBA? I mean, it can't be that much money, right?
I mean, she'll be the number one overall pick, I presume.
So Elena Deladon, right? She's like number one. She has signed a 4-year deal, $899,000.
And Caitlin Clark can get $5 million for playing 3-on-3.
Yep.
Well, now it feels like a no-brainer. Can she do both?
I would.
Do the seasons overlap?
I don't know. Is the 3-ball league really like a season? Can't you just go play like 20 minutes and then go wherever the WNBA game is?
Just show up. Yeah, honestly, that you probably could if you in your contract if you could play elsewhere. That one lockout season, everybody in the NBA just went and played in like pickup gyms. My last women's basketball thing, I picked UConn in both. So UConn win the other night. That Paige Buechers girl, whew, she can shoot too. Now she's playing Caitlin Clark. That score is going to be 140 to 130 by the end of that. We got very on track.
My wife is not very happy with you that she is not winning her bracket, by the way, on the men's side.
I kind of fell off. I got the champion still.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
The rest is not going too well. Graham Barton.
Get back to some peppers. I'm hungry.
Yeah, we should have ate wings while we did this.
Should. Next time. All right, me or you? I just gave you Nate Wiggins.
Graham Barton. Talk to me about him.
Graham Barton. What a confusing pepper scale to do here. I'm very confused.
Buffalo cauliflower. I feel like
he could fall. Yeah, he's a gluten-free cauliflower baked, not fried wing. Really good for you. Might be able to fill a big need, but you don't really fully know what you're getting, right? So he is the center guard tackle, from Duke. He played guard. He's played tackle, but he is grading out as a center. That's what people are projecting him as in the NFL. He played some center his rookie year, his freshman year in Duke. Big guy, athletic, strong. I just don't know. I feel like if they take him, he's like a Pepperonici or Anaheim for the Cowboys fans because they're going to be like, all right, we're taking a Duke player who hasn't played center since his freshman year to play center. And I think it would also matter who is on the board left with him. But he was a 30 visit. I think he's probably like that Scotch bonnet habanero for the Cowboys. Like if he's there and, you know, Powers Johnson's gone, Fatanu's gone. Chop Robinson's not there, even though he's not being linked, you know, like all those like big names aren't there, or he's that another situation where you trade back to 27, 28, pick up a pick and you take him. It's middle of the road kind of flavor. Right. And it's like, it's almost like that wait and see too. You don't fully know what you're getting. Cause he hasn't played center and he's like 6'6" playing center. That's
center.
Yeah.
It's tough.
So I think he would be the lowest on this list so far in terms of heat and flavor for the Cowboys fan base.
What for the team? If you're in that front office, where would you put him on?
I think he's like that Scotch bonnet habanero. Like he's in that yellow, just starting to get into the orange range where you take him. It's flavorful. It's got a little bit of spice to it, but it might need to add a little bit of, you know, extra blue cheese to get some more flavor out of it.
I like that. I like that. You need the celery on the side to add.
Yep.
Like that. Good. Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, who we got left here? Speaking of a guy, Chop Robinson.
I love this one. First of all, I still don't totally understand the Hassan Reddick trade. I understand wanting to be younger and not being stuck with players as they age and being stuck with dead duck contracts as guys get into their 30s. It has hurt them before with Alshon Jeffrey. It is hurting them now with James Bradbury. I understand that. I just don't think Hassan Reddick is the guy that we're like trading him before he gets old. We don't want to be stuck. We don't want to be paying him. We want to be playing ascending players like Bryce Huff. Josh Sweat is only 26. Reddick will be 30. But now, with the money you saved on Hassan Reddick, guess what you need? Edge rusher. So that's where Chop Robinson comes in. Mm-hmm. For me, I think how I believe him and how the team believes him are two different things. For me, if we get him, this is like the Carolina Reaper, hot. You're burnt, like you're sweating, taking it, like you're sweating, eating it. That's to me where Chop Robinson would be. For the team, I think he's square in the middle. He's a habanero, like right in the middle of the Scoville scale. It's the wing you eat where you're like, all right, there's no turning back. This is really, really hot. I'm starting to sweat. I need the milk instead of the water to drink. I love his freakish athleticism. I love his get off. It actually kind of reminds me of Hassan Reddick, where it's this burst and he's by the tackle. I think that's so important in today's game, just for like disruption purposes, you know? And I just think he's probably there may be more polished defensive end edge rushers in the draft. I think he's the most freakishly athletic one. I don't know what they're putting in the water at the weight room for Penn State, but there is something going
steroids.
On. Steroids. Yeah. HGH is probably what is in the water. It's just not getting picked up on the drug test because the combine results coming for these kids out of Penn State are ridiculous. And Chop Robinson is another one. Just an absolute freak athlete. We're in a 4.4. We used to be like, wow, that wide receiver is so fast. He ran a 4.4. We got defensive ends doing that now. You know how crazy that is? His get-off speed is incredible. His athleticism is incredible. It has now become a position of need. So for me, like I said, this is the Carolina Reaper. This would be hot, hot, hot. It's the wing that you dump the sauce on at the end of hot ones where you're like, one more bite and I'm out of here and I'm going to die. For the team, though, I think this is a great square in the middle. This is – they care about defensive line and offensive line, so it would not be far-fetched at all. And I think they'd really like this prospect. I just don't know how they value him.
Yeah. I love him, too. I love his freakish athleticism. If he was there at 24, I'd be all over it. He'd be the replacement in waiting for DeMarcus Lawrence. Plays the run. He chases sacks, but I guess maybe not as much as Hassan Reddick, who got chased out of town for chasing sacks.
Chasing sacks as an edge rusher.
Yep. But yeah, I think he's that upper echelon spice for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the wing. I think for a lot of people, I'm higher on him than most, but I think for most people, he's the wing you eat where you're saying, oh, there's no turning back. It's too hot. Yep. It's too hot. I'm going to start sweating. I need milk.
Yep. All right. I think we got one more.
You got one more. The last one I have for you, Jonathan Brooks.
Tell me about running back. Texas. I'm going to start this off for the Cowboys and their front office. He is the law enforcement pepper spray. He is the hottest of the hot on the top of the scale. Going to burn your mouth the entire way. There's no chance they're not picking him. That's how deliciously hot. It is so spicy. It's that spice where you don't know what to do. To the point of like Jerry Jones is just drawing circles on a pad because his brain has shut down because it's so spicy. He is a running back from Texas coming off an ACL surgery. He is the Blue Star second round special. Lock it in today. You mentioned sports betting. Lock in the Dallas Cowboys drafting Jonathan Brooks with their second overall pick. What do they do in the second round? They take injured guys, or they take guys that have questionable pass. Jalen Smith, Sam Williams, Randy Gregory. Like, it's just, you know, they literally took a linebacker with drop foot in the second round. It's just like, it's so taking a guy coming off an ACL who a lot of people have rated as the best running back in the draft. I think if he did not tear his ACL, he would go on the back end of the first round, early second round. You know, there's not many guys that jump off the tape. You know, there's no Bijan Robinsons in this draft where it's a bona fide first round pick. I think there's not going to be one running back taken in the first round this year. Probably because not. It's also a deep draft, right? There's a lot of running backs. You can get value second, third, fourth, fifth. Trey Benson, Brooks, what's his name from Wisconsin, Bucky from Oregon, Will Shipley from Clemson. There's a Drake Estime if you want a bruiser from Notre Dame. There's a lot there, but this is their flavor. They want to burn their mouth. For the fans, I just don't know. Like, I think he could be that ghost pepper where you're excited for the talent that he has. You're excited that you got arguably the best running back in the draft in the second round, but it could also be that, you know, Anaheim down low. It's like, here we go again. Blue Star special. Hurt guy. Probably not even going to start the season. But for me, I need a running back. I am so far removed from this bring Zeke back thing. I can't believe any Cowboys fan that I continue to see, like, oh, we need him back. Yeah, his full, you know, 1.8 yards a carry for New England. That's really what we need. He's like 6, whatever. All he had to do was like fall forward every time from the line of scrimmage and he would gain like 2.5 yards. He gained less than that on average. So no, but they need a running back. I know what they're going to do. He is that off the scale. Your mouth isn't right for 2 weeks hot for the Dallas Cowboys front office.
Amazing. I love that we ended it with that. That's perfect. That's how the show goes. You ate the hottest wing to end the show.
Yep.
Jonathan Brooks is your wing. The hottest one, the suicide one, the one where you pour it on the extra sauce and it's that hot. That was the great one. That's the perfect way to end it.
That's it. That's book it.
Book it down. Book it for Brooks.
What else we got going on this week, Aiden?
Well, I think that covers it for the draft tonight. I don't know if you've got anything free agency wise that you want to get into, but I.
What do I have going on in free agency, Aiden? Is that a serious question?
I didn't know if you. I know you were upset with the signing, so I was just going to give you the floor.
I got Chuma Edoga back, the left tackle who doesn't know how to play tackle.
Maybe he'll be a project like Amarius Mims.
This offseason is literally going to be Eric Kendricks at the end of his career, who is the people are needing him to be the savior at linebacker, re-signing your long snapper, re-signing an aging cornerback coming off, you know, an okay season but had an Achilles, re-signing Chuma Edoga, who does not know how to play at all tackle, and then probably re-signing Ezekiel Elliott so he can wear a 15 jersey and Jerry Jones can sell multiple millions of number 15 Zeke jerseys to starving, idiotic DC4L Cowboys fans.
But if this doesn't work, they could probably trade for Stephon Diggs, right? You guys have been talking for that for a while, so that might work, right? You know, pair him with his brother.
This just continues to prove the point that our joint team this year has to be the Texans because they're just so much fun.
They are our joint. They've been our joint team. I think we were very high on CJ Stroud last year. They were our team before they knew it because we were going to die with that take that we wanted CJ Stroud. So
yep.
I'm okay with the Texans being our team. I think.
And like, I love D'Amico Ryan's, Tank Dell. Yep. Like, they're just they've taken, you know, the Eagles like 2 years ago was also like that swagger fun team. That's the Texans now.
They are definitely the swagger fun team. That is for sure. I will say one thing. I saw this on Twitter. I wish I could give credit to the right spot, but I think this is a great idea. They are now loaded at wide receiver position, adding Stephon Diggs. You just mentioned Tank Dell. They've got Noah Brown. They've got all these guys. John Metchie, all of a sudden, Nico Collins is another one. He balled out. And that kind of leaves John Metchie out in the fold. Do we pick up the phone and see what it would take to get him? Is he one of those guys you can get on draft day late for like a fifth or sixth round pick? They got Devontae Parker for nothing. He'll be 1 year. Do you want Metchie and Paris Campbell to be your speed guys? I think that would go pretty well for the Eagles. And I wonder if that's an avenue they'd take.
Was Metchie at Alabama with
Devontae Smith?
Devontae, they were together there for...
They were. It was Metchie, Jameson Williams.
Yep.
And Devontae Smith. And then I think they were... Were those guys there with Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy? I think they might have been at the beginning. Yeah.
They may have been.
What a run that Alabama had with that talent at wide receiver position. God. Yeah. They definitely had Metchie and Jameson Williams together. Metchie obviously then gets the cancer diagnosis.
Yep.
So now that he's back and playing, like he's the odd man out in the Texans, but he still could be a really, really good talent for somebody. So the Eagles pick up the phone and try to see if that talent could come to Philadelphia.
And speaking of Henry Ruggs, I'm going to end with this. What's his name? Oh my God, why am I blanking
Rashee
on his
Rice?
Name? Yeah, Rashee Rice. He was like millimeters away from Henry Ruggsing his life.
I'm on 76 almost every day. I listen. We're not serious a lot. I'll be serious now. I used to drive so fast when I was young because I didn't care. Like, I get speeding ticket. It was fun. You know, it's fun to drive fast. The amount of people now that are going 100, tailgating you.
Yep.
You are one slip away. Like you're going to be paralyzed or paralyzing someone else or dead. What are we like? There's been such an uptick in people doing a 120, causing crashes. It's crazy.
Flying up from, you know, up your butt and then trying to get around you on the shoulder. And these days too, it's not, you can't brake check people or anything because you do that, they're going to come shoot you at the next light too.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just,
and then it's your fault that you got in their way because they were going 120 on the highway, swerving in and out of traffic. It's never worth it. Hey, you just won a Super Bowl. You could have ended up dead. And
we're
know
that life together. We're on this little weird fucking thing in the sky spinning around. Let's just everybody love everybody.
You hit a car with a 4-year-old in it, man. Like you need to do some soul searching. To be honest,
I think about that every day driving with my daughter in the car. I'm like, if somebody,
it's crazy. So we'll see what happens with that. Carson Wentz is a Kansas City Chief, which is just awesome to me. That I've been seeing some inklings online where people are like, he got forgotten in like people who have thrown for 4,000 yards and nobody had less than 500 yards of receiving or whatever, and people are like, people forget how good Carson Wentz used to be. I'm like, they're coming back around. They're coming back around. If I just hold on this take long enough, everyone will come back and think he's good.
And speaking of the Chiefs,
save a game.
Speaking of the Chiefs, the Dallas mayor wants the Chiefs to come back to Dallas where they originally started the franchise.
Hey, the Cowboys better be careful. Bring them back. That's a threat.
The Dallas Cowboys also right now, I will tell you, they are the redheaded stepchild for Dallas fans, like fans in Dallas, in DFW that are fans of, like you say, Philadelphia 4-for-4, they are not even close. Like the Rangers just won the World Series. Mm-hmm. The Mavs have been on a run. The Stars have been really good. Like that has to burn Jerry a little bit. They are the afterthought.
Results are the key. Luke is top 5 player in the league. Like you said, Rangers just won a World Series. It's all about results. If you're winning, if you build it, they will come. They're building good programs down there. I'm sure Mahomes would love to go back to Texas.
I would be all over it. Bye bye, Cowboys.
See ya. I don't want to play with you anymore.
Yeah. Bye. All right. We will be doing a mock draft as well. That's going to be dropping later this week as well. I'll be drafting for the Cowboys, Aiden for the Eagles. We are also going to be next week. or the week after, not sure yet, dropping a full first round mock where we draft for every team in the first round. And then we will be live the first night of the draft here on our YouTube page, as well as on Twitter. So thank you for watching our Wing Schofield special, I think we're going to call this. I really enjoyed it. I think we could do this again before the draft finishes, maybe with some more prospects, and maybe with some wings in hand, Aiden.
I was going to say, next time we do this, let's do it with wings, because I am starving right now.
Me too.
And I think it'd be good to do it a few days before the draft. We'll get more and more intel. It'll start to be put together. Who we like, who other teams like. It feels like a Sudoku puzzle. You start to fill in the voids, fill in the spaces. That'll be great to do. I agree. And a lot of prospect breakdowns to come too with these guys. So we'll do it then.
We still feel like we have a lot of time left, but at the same time, the draft will be here tomorrow.
Not so much. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Make sure you are following us everywhere. Our content is here on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, just check it out. Birds vs. Boys Pod. Appreciate it.
Chris Hansen here, and I'm going to need you all to take a seat right over there and check out Birds vs. Boys.
I think you're completely right here, and I hate it.
Yep. Idiots, stop doing dumb things.
I got two phones.
Upside alert, upside alert.
I might go insane.
I think you're already there.
There's no hope. Hope is gone.
If this was an AFC North podcast, we'd be done in 15 minutes.
Bob Hope.
I'm going to drink bleach.
That is the team you promised me you were going to be this year.
This is the Consciously Hopeful Podcast.
I'll be watching.